use the word hope to talk about this. And I'm going to give us an acrostic tonight for hope. Hope is such a word. Nowadays, I think we water hope down. We hope for the littlest things in life. We don't earnestly believe that God exists. When we hope for something, we should hope for healing in our loved ones. We should hope that the bondage in our loved ones is broken. We hope for the littlest things anymore. We've watered down Christ drastically, the power of God. We practice the form of godliness, but we deny His power. We come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and we enjoy the feeling of the praise and worship. But then when the Word starts, we're looking at our watch, and we're ready to leave. Because we deny the power of Christ nowadays. And to me, that's a drastic problem. We're still going on emotions. Because the emotions during praise and worship in here are intense. Some days, they get real intense. The tears start to flow in, and that's wonderful. But why can't we walk in that presence of God every day? We should be. We shouldn't just be enjoying His presence on Sundays and Wednesdays during praise and worship. And I like it when I wake up in the morning and instantly I realize that the presence of God is with me. And I manage to carry it most of the day. You know, and then Jason gets in the way and we have a tendency to leave him where Jason stepped in. But so through some of these changes that we're going to talk about, these things that God wants to do in us, I pray and hope that we learn to walk in the presence of God every day, every moment. That's what He desires, is a moment-to-moment relationship with us, not just a, I'm enjoying this feeling during praise and worship and it's hoopla, but He wants to live with us every day. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. To me, that means a moment-to-moment relationships in all ways. How many of us in here have had a God moment? A God moment, okay? How many of us have a Jesus Christ daily, every day, a relationship with Him every day? You hear from Him every day. The Bible says that His sheep shall know His voice. When's the last time you heard His voice? Was it just when you got saved, when you were 6, 9, 12, 15, 30? You had a God moment, but you have no relationship. That's the way I walk sometimes. I don't like that in my life. I don't like that at all. So what I want to work on is an intimate relationship with Him every day, every moment. Every aspect of my life I want to let Him into. My business should not just be a business, it should be ministry. Your life should be a ministry, everything you do. And I've had people before when you go to work and they're like, you know, I know you're a Christian, but please don't talk about Him here. But they claim to be a Christian. How does that work? It doesn't. I don't like that for me. Every day I represent Him first. I represent BCC, Celebrate Recovery. And I'm somewhere way down in that line. And that's the way it needs to be. I'm going to get thirsty tonight, I can tell. The principles that we're going to go over tonight, this is a principle. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me. What does earnestly mean to you? Sincerely, or with everything you got. Not just some little, you know what, I got saved. But to earnestly believe that He exists, that He's there for every aspect of our lives. That comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We must believe that He exists. We have to. Psalm 62:5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. When we finally come to that point where we earnestly believe that God exists, we start to believe and receive God's power to help us in our life every day. See, look, thank you. I don't like that cotton mouth feeling anymore. It kind of bothers me. It's been a long couple of weeks, you know, for me. Sometimes the flesh gets weak, but the Spirit's willing. Sometimes we just have to get over ourselves and carry on with what God wants us to do. Because today, I'll guarantee that I regretted ever asking Pastor for 2 weeks. I did last night about 9:30 when I've got my truck to park so I could power wash a parking lot. I'm thinking, oh my, and I'm supposed to preach tomorrow night? Great! And I started yesterday morning at 7 and quit about 10 last night. But you know what? With the blessings of the Lord come no sorrows. So if it's from God, why would I feel all crappy and be all depressed all the time? Maybe it's not from God. Huh. Just because we're busy doesn't mean it's from God, does it? But anyway, when we come to earnestly believe that God exists, we come to that point to where we believe and receive. We start receiving God's power in our life. We start understanding that He's there in every aspect of our lives. Sometimes that is the hardest thing to understand, that He's not just in this building, that He's not just here. So many of us practice that form of godliness, don't we? I'm guilty of it. You know, I come in here and I love it. I'm praise and worship. God's all over me. I'm crying. I'm like, oh, change me. Woo-hoo-hoo. Look, there goes my mic. Let me just throw one hand up. I told you, I'm here in a minute, I'll have it upside down. It's okay. I will not say I have ADD, Jerry Duncan. Because Jerry always says, I've got ADD. You do. One thing I've learned is we all just openly and honestly pour it out up here, you know. I don't. Yeah, from up here with a microphone. He said, shh, don't tell nobody, Jason. One thing that I've learned in sharing the gospel is don't sugarcoat it. Be who I am. Share my faults and my frailties. Jesus said, then he said to Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when I finally came to earnestly believe that God existed, I had to admit my weaknesses to grasp that power, to let his strength be made perfect. I had to understand that I had weaknesses. Microphone staying still, are you proud? But when I finally did that, and I'm not talking about we have to go around to everybody in here and say all of our weaknesses. We need to learn to talk to God. We need to learn to communicate our things with God and quit running to other people constantly and doing this. Constantly. I have one person who, poor pastor, he has to hear me all the time. Anything's going on, I'm like, pastor, I'm having a bad day. I bet he's like, Jason, go to CR. Get help. Get help. They can help you. He's recommended me go to CR at least a half dozen times. Celebrate Recovery is something that I thoroughly enjoy. I'm a small part of that team. It takes a team of us to make that happen. But something I realized about God is we always look at God and we're like, you know what? He can help that addict over there. But we all have hurts, habits, or hang-ups in our lives. We all need to understand that God's power can release us from all of these. How many of us in here have hurts from our past, from our childhood, growing up, things? See, we have hurts. And those of us that didn't raise our hand, well, we're probably still in denial. One thing I've learned about this church right here is when I come in here, it's taught me that I don't have to wear a mask anymore. I can be real. Finally, I realized that I don't have to have a mask at all. I used to have a mask. Even when I first started going to church here, I'd have a mask for work. I'd have a mask for church. I'd have a mask for home. One day I realized who I am. Do you know who you are yet? When we take these masks off and we learn to look in the mirror of the reality and see who we are. And yes, things need to change about me. I'm fully aware of that. But I'm happy with who I am in Christ today. But what I learned about this church was I could come in here and I could take the mask off. Eventually, I'd start leaving it in the car. Finally, I even quit bringing it with me at all. And then one day I threw it on the floor and stomped on it. And I said, you know what? I can be who I am around these people. You can be who you are here for real. And nobody's going to judge you. They're not going to condemn you. None of us are better than anyone else. Except maybe Jerry. But we're not. Jerry, I'm going to pick on you. Sorry. It's all right. How many of us in here, you don't have to raise your hand every time I ask a question. It's just what I do. Have tried a quick fix. Nancy, just sit there, Nancy, like this. Okay, we've got one honest one. Tom, you always got your hand up, brother. We've tried quick fixes in our life, a quick fix for everything. We've tried that. Whatever you choose for a quick fix, maybe it's church for a year or two or 6 months. Man, Kevin. Maybe it's church for a while, though. It's finding religion. Maybe it's the other things that we choose. But when we learn to live a life based on biblical principles, we're not looking for a quick fix anymore. We're willing to conform to God's word and quit trying to conform his word to us, is what we're trying to do. I'm going to give us an acrostic for hope. The H stands for higher power or healer. I'm going to give these to you first, and then I'll break each one down and talk about it for a few minutes. But the H stands for higher power or healer. The O stands for openness to change. The P stands for power to change. And the E stands for expect to change. If you come to Christ and you're sincere and you're looking for a change, expect it. Expect that to happen in your life. Because otherwise what we're doing is we're believing our doubts and we're doubting our beliefs. And here, so many times in life, we begin to do that. We begin to the point to where we believe our doubts. You know what? The doctor said it's this, and it's incurable. You're believing a doubt. We need to believe our beliefs. We need to stand on what we believe on. What does the Word say about these things? It says that Christ came to heal us from everything and anything. I've had some experiences pretty neat when you guys prayed for me last year sometime. I was in Florida. They diagnosed me with meningitis. Something neat about it, too, was God uses doctors, okay? They walked in there. He said, okay, what's going on? I told him. He came back in 10 minutes and told me what was going on and started getting medicine in me. They said I'd be in the hospital 14 days quarantined. I thought, oh, my gosh, 14 days in Florida? They never even let me get out of my street clothes there. They were freaking out and had on garbs, you know. But I called Pastor because the Bible says, too, that a prayer offered up in faith will heal the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has sins, they'll be forgiven. I stood on that with everything. And I was slightly intoxicated. They started pumping me full of medicine. I had relapsed in a legal way that was terrible. I hated it. I felt so bad. It took me 2 weeks later. I had the worst relapse I've had since then. Relapse of attitude is what I had. But anyway, I stood on that and I called Pastor. And he said, the end result of this will be healing. And I believe that. I believe that. What do you need to believe for in your life? What do you need to believe for? You have needs. The Bible says that he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's physical, financial, spiritual, everything. All of our needs. We all have needs. Some of us are still looking for that person that we just can't find. We have a need for what we call soulmate. We have needs. The H, higher power, or our healer. When we come to understand that there is one true living God and his name is Jesus, when we come to that point, you know, and even in the past, we might have believed that Jesus existed. Like I said, we probably went to church. We've practiced a form of godliness. But when we develop that personal relationship with him, day to day, moment to moment, constantly live in contact with Christ. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean all the time we got to get down into some holier-than-thou position. It means talk to God all the time. Constantly be talking to him. I've seen Christ do some neat things in the 5 years that I've been walking with him. We had a young Hispanic man that came to church here, gave his life to the Lord. From that point forward, he quit smoking, cussing, and they have a different lifestyle than some of us. They're a little rougher. But he quit smoking and cussing and all that. Well, his wife lives in Texas. She called me up one day, and Jorge, he said, you know, they found a tumor, and he was bawling. He said, Jason, he said, I believe Jesus. He said, I love Jesus. I believe him. He said, I want you to pray. And we prayed. They called back a week later, and it wasn't even there anymore. The tumor was gone. But why do we not believe God can do that nowadays? We're like, no, that was back then. God can't heal people, but he can. Have you ever experienced anything like that? And if you haven't, why not? Because of the lack of faith. Because that deep down inside of you, you say, you know what? But they said it's incurable. But he came to heal all sicknesses. And I believe that with everything inside of me. We've got a daughter right now who is having, well, they're saying she's having speech problems. They're saying that she's not learning properly, but she's only been in school 3 weeks. You know what I say? I say that my Jesus is going to heal her. And I believe that. And I know that. So, you know, no matter what they say, I'm going to go with what he said. I'm going to stick with what God said. And Jesus came to heal. He's going to heal her. And they can tell me all they want to, and I'll just shake my head at them. Okay, whatever you say. They're not going to change my beliefs. Are the circumstances around you changing your beliefs, or are your beliefs changing your circumstances? What's going on in that situation? Because so many times, it seems like our circumstances make us cower down. As Christians, we shouldn't cower down. The Bible says we have the right to come to the throne of grace boldly and confidently. Where was I at? Higher power? Healer? I believe that Jesus Christ is going to heal my daughter. When we come to the prayer line, most of us don't. Very few do. The Bible says we're two or more agree upon anything, doesn't it? That's what the prayer line's for, Sunday mornings. You know, something we should be doing is walking up here and believing with these people in this prayer line in agreements for our needs. We should be putting into practice what the Bible says. that our Jesus Christ is our healer and our higher power, that he cares about us, that we matter to him, and that he can help us. We need to come to believe that. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me. But so many times fear keeps us from doing these things. When they do an altar call and we sit back there and God's just saying, you know what, just walk up there and let him pray for you. Walk up there and let him pray for you. But I can't. People will see them and they'll think that something's wrong. So you're too proud to admit your weakness and let his strength be made perfect. I am all the time. I'm only speaking from my side of the tracks too. Because there's many a time that I've sat over there and God's saying, hey, go up there. Let's pray for this. Go to Jim and let him pray for you. Go to Ian and let him pray for you. And I'm like, no. The Bible also said for me to pray in my prayer closet is what comes to me. You know what I mean? So I'm getting little lies there. But as we come to that point to where we see that Jesus desires a day-to-day, moment-to-moment, hands-on relationship. Romans 11:36 says, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. So many of us believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. My microphone gets further and further away. Can you still hear me? But we do. We believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. Have you ever seen love? Have you ever seen faith? You haven't actually seen it, have you? You've seen acts of it. You've seen acts of love. You've seen acts of faith. They are invisible spiritual realities is what they are. Things that last forever. An act of love lasts forever. That's one thing I like about this church is the acts of love that I see us growing into more and more. That's funny because I'm like 6 pages ahead of my notes. Sometimes I think people need to rest a little bit. But anyway, the next one is the openness to change. Openness to change. It's a process that leads to a solid belief. It leads to the change of our life. We came to believe. We started to believe and receive God's power. Hope is openness to change. That's where the change begins, is in hope. How many of you in here have loved ones who you wish would attend church, who you wish would be free? There's still hope for them. Those are things to hope for. Hope and pray. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, that the laborers are few. Pray for laborers to go in their path. Pray for it. Pray for God to send laborers in there. And I have loved ones in my family that I don't communicate with very well. Every time we talk, we might as well just hit our head in a wall. And they started coming to a point in my life to where they were coming back into my life. And then here come that tension. And I just said, God, please send another laborer. Please. And he did. He sent other laborers. So many times, that form of godliness, we get up in the morning, we're too busy to spend any time with God. Throughout the day, we're too busy to spend any time with God. How can we expect change in our life if the only person spiritually feeding us is that man? I think the Bible says that you don't have to tell your neighbor anymore who's Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do that for us in Hebrews. It says that as we read, you know, that he'll speak to us. He said, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I've said to you. And I'm so guilty lately of just coming to church and sitting here and letting pastor try to feed me. Of not getting up and doing my reading and my studying that I should do. So, hope is openness to change. How many of us are so scared to change because change is painful? Change hurts. The hardest thing to change, though, is a closed mind. I've been doing it this way my whole life. That's the way I was raised. That's the way my great-grandpa did it. Doesn't mean it was right. Change is where we get closer to God. It is. I have to change so many things, let God change so many things in me so that I can grow closer to him. That energy on Friday is just probably not there today. We resist change because of the fear of the unknown, because we don't know it. So we just resist it. A lot of times we think we don't deserve any better, so we hang on to these things that drag us down because we don't deserve anything better than that. Hope opens the doors where despair closes them. Doubt closes the door, hope opens them. Um, throughout our life, we're going to continue to... Let me keep that back here. Kevin's back there doing this. I thought he was dancing. He was telling me to put the microphone up. He was telling his boys how to dance. That's exactly how they danced earlier. So I didn't know. My bad. Hope discovers what can be done instead of grumbling about what can't be done. Throughout our life, though, we're going to continue. We're going to come across things that hurt us. Habits are going to keep popping up that we think we need to change, that God knows we need to change. Habits are going to keep popping up. One thing that, our circumstances, so many times they make us bitter instead of making us better. When things happen in life and things come at us and we lose hope and we get bitter. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and different person." P tells us how we can do that through the power to change. How many of us deal with our minds sometimes? Our minds seem to get the best of us. We get weary from life. Everything against us. See, I'm one of those people that never lived life. I never experienced life from the way I should. I actually never lived. I never had a job for certain years of my life. I never did anything that was legitimate, I'll say. Most of you, when I look out here, have lived a lifestyle right, to the best of your ability. You've always had a job. You've always done that. One thing I've learned with people in recovery is they expect a pat on the back because they're actually being an adult. So you guys have walked your life with Christ and you've been adults. You've grown up and you've done things. You've went to college. You've worked. You've done things that you were supposed to do. And you've made it. Because a lot of you in here on the Wednesday night crowd have came to the point a long time ago where you understood that it was Christ that gets you through this. See, when I look around the room, I see people in here whom I can look up to, who I can... not lift on a pedestal, I'll say, but I can look to for advice. When we have problems in our home, there's people in here that we can call. Man sharpens man as iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. So that power to change comes from Christ and it comes through other people. We need to surround ourselves with people who we know are walking. I just had to throw my notes away. My brain is exhausted. I apologize. So I'm just not going to do that. I have a tendency, as all of us do, when we earnestly believe that God exists, that we matter to Him, but we still have a tendency to put everything else before Christ. Everything. Everything becomes an idol. Work, children, family, going to church and doing the praise and worship, doing anything comes before Christ because it becomes a thing that we do instead of an act of worship. Our entire life should become an act of worship. You know, our life should be a mission field. When we leave this place, I was going to wear my absolute filthy clothes. Because my life is a mission field. My job, J&J Power Washing, is a mission field. Every aspect of our life should be. When we walk out of these doors, we're entering into a mission field. We should take that power to change with us when we leave here. Take it with us. Expect the people we come in contact with to change. Expect that. Because the power of Christ should just illuminate from us. They should realize that we are different. We've been set aside. We've been chosen by Christ to do His work. I had a hard time coming to that realization, because I look for God moments every day in my life. Do you? What if when they were walking into the temple, was it Peter and John when they were walking in that temple, if they were so busy with what they were going to do to worship God, they missed that man sitting right outside begging? And they just missed him because they were so busy with going inside the temple to worship. Because they had a destiny and nothing was going to stop them until they got there. When you're driving down the road and you see people that are just in despair and they're hurting, what do? You go on to your goal, don't you? To your destination. Instead of reaching out and pouring a little love into their lives. And I'm very guilty of picking up hitchhikers. E, don't go there. You know when people can be fixed? When they're broken. They have to be broken to be fixed. When you see people in the world, when you're walking through Walmart, you hate Walmart so bad that you're just pushing your cart and wanting to get out of there. Look at the person beside you and they're crying. Look at the person in front of you when you realize their debit card didn't work, but you're so busy. I'm so busy with my cart that I have no clue that that person in front of me could not buy their groceries just now, and they walk off. I had an incident in there one time. I'm just going to go with Jesus in my life. Let's just run with this. I'm so tired of being caught up in Jason Ramsey that I miss Jesus Christ. There is a dying world out there that we, the church, are supposed to be reaching. I was in Walmart one day and there was a Hispanic family. And I'm so sick of people saying they're coming over here and taking our jobs and they do this and they do that. You know what? That Hispanic man that got saved back there is now the father he's supposed to be to his family, is who he is, and he works. And his wife lives in Texas, and he takes care of the money until he can afford to get her back here. He's more of a man than most Americans that knock up a woman, forgive me if there's kids in here, and then walk away. I don't like sugarcoating stuff a lot. But he is. He's an awesome man. And now he's a man of God. You know why? Because he had a simple heart and he believed it like that. He didn't have to logically deduct everything. He said, you know what? I love Jesus and I can barely understand him sometimes. He saved me. And it's that simple. But it's not for us, is it? For us who have all of the hoopla and the emotions. It's not that simple sometimes. It was so neat for me when I came to Christ 5 years ago tomorrow. Because for me it was that easy. I understood that he existed, that I mattered to him, and that he had the power to help me. I had been crying for months. I was broken. And I just fell down and I just said, Jesus, I can't do this on my microphone's moving. I can't do this on my own. This is honest, okay, with the microphone. My grandpa goes out to John 3:16 for Veterans Day. Man, you talk about a flailer. A lady actually went up there and held it for him. So if anyone would feel obligated to hold my microphone, I'll even stand still if you want to hold it. Come. Look. But anyway, back to God moments. Being the church is so much more about being in this building. So this Hispanic man in front of me has got one eye scarred up. Who knows from what? They're up there running their debit card or whatever card it was and wouldn't pay for nothing. And they were, you know, reaching in there. And I know everybody, this lady's comment, it was ill-mannered. But anyway, they're reaching in there and they couldn't afford to pay for their food. So I just reached up there and slid it. The cashier got mad at me and would not speak to me. 2 weeks before that, she said she's a Christian. We have a form of godliness. We deny his love. His love is his power. But we deny that so many times. There's people walking down the road, and I'm not talking about the ones doing this, because 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to stop if they got their thumb up. It's the man that's got his back, and he's doing this. Won't even look up. Picked one up yesterday. You don't go there. I picked one up yesterday. And this man was out of it. And we have these celebrate recovery cards. I picked him up because God said pick him up. When was the last time God told you to do something? Did you respond? Did you do what he told you to do? Has he even told you to do anything lately? The moment-to-moment relationship. We should hear from God daily. We should hear from God a lot. I have a relationship with my wife, and we talk quite often. And I say I have a relationship with Christ, but I hadn't heard him in 5 years. Hadn't heard him since he saved me. I don't understand that. I don't at all. But anyway, so I gave this man a celebrate recovery card, and then instantly I kicked back into Jason Ramsey mode. And I was like, he said, man, I've been thinking about getting some help. So I got to share my story with him. I said, you know, 5 years ago Thursday, I said, I got my help I needed. I said, Christ helped me. He set me free. And his eyes were like this big, you know. Back in the day, I'd be like, hey, man, you got some? Hook me up. But, you know, when Jesus gets in, you don't think like that. Now, when you see a weakness, you think of his grace. So I gave him a card and I said, hey, call me Saturday and I'll take you to John 3:16. So this morning, as I was physically tired and mentally tired, God spoke to me today through this man and I missed it. So I had to do some repenting. Because this man called me this morning. He said, hey, you know what? I'm having a hard time, man. He said, you know, you said something about some help. And I'm like, yeah, call me Saturday. I'll get you John 3:16. Click. I hung up on him. The man reached out to me today and said, hey, I'm ready. I'm broken. 30 minutes later, I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I went into panic mode. And sometimes I beat myself up a little bit. But one thing I do know, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, if you don't know the word, you're going to beat yourself up for that so bad. We have to get into the word. So I repented and I said, Lord, forgive me. I called the number back and it was Scenic View Restaurant up there. So the man was walking, obviously, because he is homeless. He told me when I picked him up. We don't always hit the mark. But you know what? If we miss the mark, we should realize it at least. There is a conviction. And then that self-condemnation didn't come from God. That came from me. So I had to repent of that again too. So the E in hope, expect to change. Expect to change. If we dig into the Word and get beyond the feelings and dig into the Word, and when we don't feel like it, we stand on God's promises, we'll start to change. We have to expect that change from His Word. His Word changes me every time I pick it up and read it. It changes sometimes. I don't want to do it, you know, at all. Starts talking about this, that, and the other. You know, when God tells me, you know, give this person this. And I'm like, what? What do you mean give them that? And my wife says, what? Don't give them that. How much did God tell you to give away? But you know what? Why do I want to doubt His voice? If I'm His sheep, I hear His voice, right? And there's a lot of voices in my head. Woo! It's been a long time on the other side of the tracks. But I'm starting to decipher these voices. Expect to change. When you earnestly believe that God exists, that you matter to Him, and that He has the power to help you, you can expect to change. Change doesn't come easy in life. It doesn't come easy at all. I have been stretched more in the last 5 years than running around with half of Batesville doing wrong ever stretched me. I've been stretched so much. It's unreal. God has stretched me dealing with people. Now, He used some of the people skills that I got through that, through running around and dope dealing and all of that. You do learn to deal with people. So He uses that now, but for His glory, the people skills. And I used to love to organize keg parties and things. So if you've noticed, we're having a big hog cookout at my house. I still love to organize cookouts and things like that because I can take what the devil used and give it to God. Very easily we can. We just need to do that. I might regret inviting all of life groups over October the 8th at 2 o'clock. We're going to have a hog roast at my house. We're going to roast two hogs all night Friday night. And then we're going to eat. Yeah, there's no keg. Sorry. My bad. I forgot to include that in it. No, if you want to bring one, you know, I'll invite everybody I used to know from the lost side, and we'll love all over them when they get drunk. Man, there is no better conversation than two drunk people talking about Jesus. I mean, seriously, on a bar stool with a long neck. Man, you know, God is here. People get saved in bars. Right, Jerry? Sorry, that was just easy. Too easy. Oh, man. Sometimes it's best to get away from the notes, I think, because sometimes God just wants to just talk. When you come to Christ, you need to expect change in your life. You need to understand that He is our higher power, that He is our healer. We need to have the openness to change, because God's going to want to change you from the... Spit on the mic. Who gets it next? God's going to want to change you from the inside out. He wants to change you. We are clay in the potter's hand, okay? He wants to remold us. The power to change, for me, it starts with prayer every day. Every day when I get up and I have to spend my time with God and pray. And through that, through the hope, through the openness to change, the power to change, the prayer, expect to change. In your life, if you've came to Christ, you need to expect change. If nothing's changing, something's wrong. Okay? We should be constantly growing and stretching. If nothing's changing, something's wrong with our relationship with Christ. Probably I can say that a huge part of it is simply laziness. To be blunt, a huge part is laziness. Because we're so tired, we don't want to pick up the Bible. We don't want to read. Don't want to meditate. Don't want to study. Because the world gets us so busy with its things. It's probably about 8 o'clock. So, as we get ready to dismiss, the notes had to go. Sometimes we get tired in life and we just need to lay aside the things we think we had planned and let God have some things. Us as a body of believers, God has great things in store for us. I still have a small mentality with certain things. My God is huge. God is very big. We need to think big as a body. We need to think big. When we do things, don't look at nickels and dimes. Look at hundreds and 10,000. That perspective, I'll use money. Think large. God is big. When we go out into the community, think big. Sometimes I firmly believe that the more seed we sow, of course the harvest is going to be bigger. Think big. God's a big God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that when we come to You, Lord God, that You're gentle. Lord God, that You shape us gently, Lord God, that You don't take us out into the woodshed and just whoop us. Lord, I thank you that when we come to you, Lord God, and we earnestly believe, Lord, that you shower us with that grace, because we know that that change can only come from your grace, Lord. Father, I just pray tonight for each of us in this room, Lord, that you reach down, Lord God, from the inside out, Lord God, and begin to reshape us into the people that you want us to be. Lord, consume us. You are a consuming fire, Lord. Consume us from the inside out. Create us and make us to be the body that you want us to be. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' most powerful and precious name. Amen. The mic wasn't even on.